The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning. It's day two of the mild cold front, and we are all celebrating. Now, I know sometimes I crack this joke about how I don't like to bathe, right? And I could feel some of y'all cringing at home saying, you know what? I don't like to bathe too, but don't expose me, Aaron. Let me tell you why I crack that joke, right? It's a real, real thing behind it, you know. We absorb vitamin D through our skin. Right? The longer we stay out in the sun, we're exposed to the sun, the more vitamin D we collect on the surface of our skin. But the process of absorption, right, it doesn't happen automatically. It takes a little while. It takes a little time for the skin to absorb the vitamin D. Now, see, if you bathe too quickly, too often, and for all of those grandmothers out there, too vigorously, you could literally scrub the vitamin D off of you. Right? And so when I crack a joke of bathe and not liking to bathe, really what I'm thinking about is how modernity, right, and the way that we live now in this modern society, right, doesn't necessarily operate optimally for us as humans on the planet, right? Like the way that we live in now isn't necessarily the best way for us. It may seem comfortable, right? Like you get in your car with your tints, and your AC, or you stay inside your house with your AC or your fan and you stay out of the sun. But it turns out that good beaten hot sun, that's good for us, right? It's good for us. And so it's a little joke I tell sometimes to make people think, or hopefully to inspire people to think about things like that, right? Not just about vitamin D and our health personally, but about the way that we live with each other. Good morning. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. I also want to send a special good morning to the three young men that were documented illegally procuring coconuts from a farm in the southern islands of the Bahamas and continue to do what they were doing as the owner of the property took pictures of them, right? Agricultural theft in this country is real, and farmers are frustrated and fed up, and they continue to do the right thing over and over again. And the systems responsible for dealing with it, either they don't take this as a serious offense, or they're overwhelmed already by what they have to deal with, and there's no space available for them personally and within the system to deal with this issue. But could you imagine that you could take pictures of the people and the vehicle and the license plate on the vehicle of the people stealing from your face? Ain't nothing happening. So anyway, gentlemen, I want to say a special good morning to you guys because you are very, very, very lucky, and you all need to count your blessings and turn those blessings into fortune by focusing on living a crime-free life and figuring out a way to barter or trade with the owners of the property you are attempting to take and make money with. Also, I have been derelict in my duty of my political critique. And every day I was supposed to be calling on politicians to take a pay cut. I've moderated myself sometimes because I've had civil servants on as guests. But today I want to say that maybe now is the time for politicians to take a pay cut so we as a collective could figure out how we're going to buy back Little Ragged Island and prevent it from being resold to another non-Bahamian, right? We got to keep these things in the family, like how y'all just keep the coconut tart recipe in the family. And then now you always keep secrets about people's parents in the family. Keep this in the family. Let's understand the archipelagic, the archaeological value. Let's understand the historic and the cultural value of this land, of the experiences that Bahamians would have had on this land. Let's think about the time when Ragged Island and those southern islands were the center of economics and politics and drove the country. Let's think about all of that. Because if the politicians took a pay cut, I would gladly take a small, minute pay cut. I'd take a big pay cut to support my Bahamians in buying back an island. So good morning. The last person I want to say good morning to is the entire Royal Bahamas Police Force Road Traffic Division. If all of y'all set up at Mackey Street and Shirley Street right now, you could fill the treasury for the year. We wouldn't need the budget. We'd just say, take the money and do what you need with it. Right there at Mackey and Shirley Street intersection, where people in the westbound lane coming from Mackey on the north side refuse to slow down to determine whether their light is red or green before they enter Shirley Street. It's amazing. Every day, big grown Bahamians sit at that intersection watching other Bahamians ignore the social contract and the legal contract that dictates that when your light is red, you stop. And when you don't know what color your light is, you drive with caution and at a speed that would allow you to stop when you determine your light is red. To be honest with you, I am very upset and tired of almost getting hit by cars that refuse to acknowledge that they should have stopped. And then they want to snarl at you and snare at you, or worse, blow their horn at you because you thought it prudent to warn them that they were committing an offense and an infraction and were possibly at risk of hitting you and damaging your vehicle. Yes, these are things we need to pay attention to. Anyway, thank you for sitting with me this morning in our little housekeeping session. I really wanted to talk about politicians, but I figured maybe not. Maybe we're going to be talking about politicians all day, like the statements the Minister of National Security made. That officers, or I allege that he's alleging that officers were injured in an attempt, and as an attempt was made to breach the House of Assembly. And I want to say to the Minister of National Security, are you not potentially prejudicing the matter while touting the COP's independence? Maybe you should pause, sit with the Attorney General, and rethink these statements. Please, I beg of you. Also, there's a story in today's Tribune in the business section, Information Act Critical to Assess Foreign Direct Investment Risks Posed, and this speaks specifically to BPC and attempts by the activists from the Our Islands, Our Future Coalition to access information relevant to the government's engagement with BPC. It's an important story. I think everybody should read it. Also, in yesterday's Guardian, on the front page, a story that I did not get to because of the news. Man and woman accused of forcing two teenagers into prostitution. Man and woman accused of forcing two teenagers into prostitution. So for the last month, I've had a focus on International Women's Day and issues pertaining to women, the status of women. And in particular, we had conversations that focus on the International Women's Day theme for 2021 that looks at women's participation in leadership and in public life and in politics. And through that discussion, I've had a lot of people who have offered a critique, right? They've offered several critiques. One of those critiques is, are we really in 2021? Do we really need this hyper-focus or what feels to be a hyper-focus on women's issues? And I would say, after looking at this story in yesterday's Guardian, indeed, we still require a hyper-focus on, in the Bahamas, the status of women and girls, and the status of violence against women and girls in the Bahamas. So some of the language used in that article speaks to sex trafficking, right? And I think that sometimes people forget that the Bahamas is a prime zone for trafficking in general and sex trafficking in particular. And although we don't see it in the newspapers every day and we don't talk about it regularly, we know that there are a large number of instances in human smuggling, and sex trafficking in this country. And so that's why I've taken the time to focus on these issues. And in fact, today, my guests, not in studio, but in studio with me, are members of Civil Society Bahamas. And we are going to talk today about what that organization is, what it does, and how it supports the work to end women and girls in the Bahamas and to improve the status of women and girls in the Bahamas. Producer, I see we got a call on the line. Is that a caller? Yeah? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take this call dead quick because I've seen you've been waiting for a minute, caller. But like I said, I have a show today. My guests are members of Civil Society Bahamas, and we're going to be talking about the status of women and what this organization does to improve the lives of women and girls in particular and Bahamians generally. So, caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you still there? I'm sorry I've lost you. Arlington, let's my guests on the Zoom. So, good morning, ladies. Good morning, Ms. Marilyn Zonnickel and Ms. Patricia Morley from Civil Society Bahamas.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Dean.
How are you?
We are well. How are you?
I am good, thank you. I've been excited about this conversation because I haven't linked with Civil Society Bahamas in a long time. So I'm interested in finding out what you guys are up to in 2021, but also for us to talk about how you support large and small organizations in the country.
Indeed.
So tell us each about yourself and what the Bahamas is, and what do you do within the organization?
Okay. Would you permit us, Ms. Dean, to say a brief word of prayer because of the significance of this issue of women and women in society, and particularly the issue that you raised about violence against women and girls?
Absolutely.
Oh, we're most grateful.
Thank you.
Father, we bow in your presence. And because this issue of women and girls is so significant and pivotal and determinant for our society, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring your illumination to the fact that you have already given us the answer. Because, Father, you have said that that the world is not complete, creation is not complete, if there was not women. Because, Father, only when you created female, the woman, did you say, it was very good. And Father, man is not without woman. Because Father, you said at the beginning of creation, you saw that Adam needed someone else. He had everything, but yet you could see he was not fulfilled. And so you gave him a help meet, not a help M-A-T-E, but a help M-E-T-E, suitable for him. So Father, none of us are complete. The world is not complete unless there is honor and recognition of the role of women. And Father, we ask the special blessing upon the host because we have been impressed at how she always honors this jewel that you have given us, the culture, the flora, the fauna. And so we ask a special blessing upon her and that you would maximize as never before her gifts and talents. In the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And in terms of, I would let my colleague, Mrs. Morley, start, Ms. Green, in terms of her background.
Oh, very simple. As Erin knows, I am the present president of the National Organization of Civil Society and a director of Civil Society and a director working with the bylaws and the governance and national affairs of the civil society committee. I am also the president for the Urban Renewal Nassau Village under the Gender and Urban Renewal Department. And we have about 130 members there. So as we go along and as our conversation takes way, it would be incorporated as to what else I'm involved with.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know you as a president of NOAB, the National Organization of Women's Associations of the Bahamas, that I would have participated in as an activist and an advocate about 20 to 15 years ago, which was an umbrella organization that operated to support women's organizations in the country, right? Particularly yes. Smaller organizations that didn't have the capacity to function fully on their own.
Yes, you're correct. About 20 years ago.
Right.
Up to about 10 years ago.
Yes, ma'am. Civil Society Bahamas is another type of umbrella organization. Tell us how it functions.
Okay. Well, Civil Society was founded in 2002, incorporated in 2005, is now a registered nonprofit organization under the Nonprofit Organization Act 2019. Later on, as we develop this, I will tell you exactly how this came into being and the work that civil society has been put into it. Civil society's membership, consisting of individuals, non-governmental organization, and civil society institution that seeks to manifest the interests and will of the Bahamian citizens.
Absolutely.
And may I add something to that to give some context to your audience, Ms. Green?
Yes.
Civil society, there may be those in your audience who know that civil society is a concept that has elements which are diverse, complex, and even contentious. In other words, it's historically, it's a concept that originated as far back as the Romans and the Greeks. And I want to especially refer to Aristotle, who saw civil society as the polis or the city-state, as an association that enables citizens to share in the vigorous task of ruling and being ruled. And that already would give you an indication of why civil society and the concept of civil society is so diverse and potentially contentious.
Mm-hmm.
There's a definition also of civil society of the UN, which says that the United Nations says that civil society is the third pillar of governance, along with the government and the private sector. And then we come now to the operation of civil society within our own national boundaries. And even though civil society has those diverse, even contentious elements, it is recognized even by government now that, in fact, government has not been operating and cannot really fulfill its fullest mandate without civil society, because most of the major government agencies, from social services to education to sports to health to labor relations to finance, all of them collaborate significantly with civil society. Already, civil society is playing a significant role that most don't realize. Mm-hmm. And I would stop here by just also underscoring, in terms of Civil Society Bahamas, in addition to what my colleague Mrs. Morley said, it has bylaws and it also has a board of directors. And it has a very, very informative website, civilsocietybahamas.org, and there you will find in-depth issues pertaining to civil society. You will see where the benefits are, where its work programs are. I would say the most significant benefits of Civil Society Bahamas are its advocacy role, its capacity building role, and its facilitating role as a bridge between, and you reference civil society being an umbrella, or indicated it being an umbrella, or yes, it really is a facilitating advocacy arm, but it does so in areas that really make a difference for the organizations, not only that are members of civil society, but the wider organizations. And I'll just give one concrete example. Civil society in collaboration with the Caribbean Center, the Caribbean Center for Policy Development, the University of the Bahamas, Alive, the Agape Foundation, and I know I'm missing one, I may come back to it, but there were certain organizations that collaborated to do a mapping exercise. And that mapping exercise was to give a profile to understand the sector so that civil society Bahamas more clinical and more responsive in meeting the needs of the sector. And it was interesting that that mapping exercise, it has two phases. The first phase that was completed found out that in the country at large, there are 2,557 civil society organizations or nonprofit organizations. This is those that are registered and those that are informal. And of that 2,557, there are 1,238 which are registered. So you begin to appreciate the depth and breadth of the sector.
With a survey like this, you mentioned a number of organizations, but not all of those organizations are members of CSB. Some of them would have been partners, right, in this particular mapping exercise.
Yes.
And so is but, what...
Yes.
I was going to say, one. Go on.
No, I was just going to say it's on the membership that even though I just want to underscore that there are major organizations which are part of Civil Society Bahamas. For example, the Bahamas Christian Council, the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation, the Trade Union Congress, the National Congress of Trade Unions, the University of the Bahamas. So that gives you an idea of the breadth of Civil Society Bahamas as an umbrella organization.
Right. So one of the benefits of being a member of Civil Society Bahamas is the ability to interact and engage with these larger organizations, just generally?
Yes, it is, because Civil Society Bahamas is a tripart governance. They work on the tripart governance system. And as I was about to mention a little earlier, as mm-hmm. my colleague has just mentioned, with civil society organization, their focus is the betterment of individuals through the improvement of their general socioeconomic, spiritual, and mental welfare. Their objectives are to support all alliances. And these alliances with international organizations such as the OAS.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Labor Organization, the United Nations, the Inter-American Bank, the IDB, Bahamas, and others. NAWAB is a partner also with civil society. So you can see how the membership has been spread over to be drawn from a wide section of the Bahamas CSOs. CSO meaning civil society organization and the nonprofit NPO organization. The vision of civil society is to really respect, fully, and engage in good governance, you know, meaning that with government, business, and civil society as a tripart. And their whole mission then is to be that pillar of the governance of civil society that will be focused on the coalition building among these members, the small CSOs, to partner and promote civil society engagement with these national development. They are spokesmen for them.
Absolutely.
And if I may add, Ms. Green, because I think I understood you were trying to drill down to see whether it's just general advocacy or something more practical. And to respond to that, yes, definitely extremely practical. Because if it were not for civil society Bahamas, the whole sector would have been in a complete tizzy because of the new requirements under the Nonprofit Organizations Act of 2019. Civil society, representatives of civil society Bahamas were integrally involved in negotiating with the Office of the Attorney General because the original act had provisions that would have really been detrimental to the sector, given that the sector is not just the major bodies that I mentioned, but it's down to the one person or someone that is trying to make a difference in his or her community. And just to give a specific example in the case of the Nonprofit Organizations Act.
Actually, Marilyn, let's start at the top, because that's one of my questions. Understanding that Civil Society Bahamas was integral in the initiation, creation, and implementation of the act across the board, even when it came to making amendments to the bill or to the act. Tell us what the NPO Act is, first off, and why it's important for civil society organizations to register.
Okay. The NPO Act is a sub-legislation under the Companies Act, and the purpose of the NPO Act 2019 is to provide responsible regulation and prevention of abuses of its sector and bring the Bahamas in compliance with the money laundering provisions of the Financial Action Task Force.
Because look here, may I just say here, I sell Chikchanis mainly to tourists as they leave in the island, right? And that's because of customs and immigration technicalities. And I figured, like, y'all created this act to prevent me from becoming a millionaire selling Chikchanis to tourists. And I call it like a cultural social justice activism, right? It's not a business. That's why I don't have a business license, right? That's why I don't pay taxes or anything. It's like social justice advocacy. And I figured y'all created this act to stop me and my God-given right to sell Chikchanis to tourists to take out of the country.
No, yes and no. The spirit of what you have just articulated, Aaron, if I may call you Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. The spirit of what you have just articulated, you're quite on target, because the NPO Act is a response to external forces, not to realities within the country in terms of what civil society is all about. Mm-hmm. The definition that I just read is in contradistinction to the ethos, if I may say so, of what civil society is all about. Mm-hmm. I quoted Aristotle, and I will underscore that by saying that NPOs or CSOs, civil society organizations or nonprofit organizations, independent, charitable, non-commercial entities, they are also fueled by ethical and moral imperatives within the society. Why? Because as I indicated, they are contradistinguished from government and the state, because the genesis of civil society was that the average person that you just described did not feel that the ruling elite, whether it was the political elite of the monarchy or whether it was the religious elite of the church, that they were not really meeting their needs. And that is how civil society emerged as people standing up for their own rights. So yes, you could say that it's preventing your Chikchanis because it's forgetting that the focus should be on the people first and foremost, and that the people should participate in government, even if you have these external forces such as the Organization for Economic Development, OECD, the European Union, et cetera, that are accusing us of being a money laundering, you know, with bank secrecy, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, even when these external forces are beating down your door, you still have to give priority to your people. And so this is where civil society comes in. And this is why civil society Bahamas stepped up to say to government, you have to think about the people as well as meeting these international obligations or these international pressures. And I will end this point by saying that as a result, the NPO Act, while government in a sense had no choice but to legislate it, there is another piece of legislation called the Civil Society Bill of 2005, where all that you have referenced directly and indirectly with respect to selling your Chikchanis and other things are incorporated there. And part of civil society's efforts is to, while we are collaborating with government, to still remind them that there is this wider aspect of civil society that cannot be ignored, and that they have acknowledged, because government has acknowledged, if it wasn't for civil society organizations, we are with both Dorian and COVID-19.
Absolutely. So
can I
go on.
Can I chime in on that?
Yes, ma'am.
To show you how it is so important for the work that civil society has done and is doing. And members of the organization responsible for governance, we met at the Attorney General's office on the 5th of December, 2018, to explain the benefits of the CSO bill that we were concerned with. We started working on that from 2012 and 2015, 3 years of that work. The government still went ahead to this end and draft their own document and advised them that the 2018 bill and suggestion to improve it will still go on. So civil society did not sit down there. They got in with their other stakeholders, including myself, and we went to Parliament when the draft was being read. Mm-hmm. And we lobbied the senators and caused them to the debate to be postponed.
Do you?
So CSB felt that 2018 NPO bill, in the form that it was very premature. It was duplicative. It was anti-ethical. The spirit and the objectives of it was not good for the CSOs, you know?
Absolutely.
So we felt that it was, in that perspective, that it was aggressive and sought to regulate the sector with little input from the consultation of civil society. So we had to get in there. So we met again later on at the Attorney General's office around December 2018. And then we were advised that the government was prepared to meet with us on the concern, and they agreed. So when the bill was enacted 2019, while the draft, with the draft and the changes, when it was ratified, it showed how the nonprofit organization bill then, the NPO bill, was forwarded to CSB in June of 2019. So we were able to look at that bill, and the bill that CSB did, Civil Society Bahamas, was very superior to the government's bill, which originally they had put forward. So I must say thank you to the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. They included some of the very specific revisions. They relaxed the financial reporting requirements, and they made the process of the registration a little
and
bit
mentioned the threshold, Mrs. Morley, so that some CSOs were exempted from the onerous registration
the financial reporting.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, sit back for that, because the whole purpose in which is driven by civil society is to protect the wider community, the smaller CSOs. This has been their focus from the beginning, to help to regularize them, to assist them. You asking, what are we doing for them? We were able to do that.
Absolutely.
And this is what has driven that membership now up to where it is today. They have reached out to them.
That is awesome. And I'm glad that they have in their moderate way, have stepped to the table with you and were willing to reconsider and reconsider and reconsider the offerings that you gave.
A lot of work.
Yes, and I endorse Mrs. Morley's point that the Honorable Attorney General and his technical team have to be commended for the spirit in which they collaborated with Civil Society Bahamas.
That is awesome. Ladies, I'm going to go to a quick break. I got one or two texts. One is a little interesting. I definitely want us to delve into it. And then when we get back from the break, I want to ask you what type of store should register under the NPO Act and what types of groups are currently members of CSB Bahamas. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I have members from the organization Civil Society Bahamas on with me today, and we will continue the conversation after the break. We'll be right back.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is Wednesday, March the 24th, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and if you need to change that dial, remember you could tune into GuardianTalkRadio.com, where we're streaming live audio and video. Or you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. And if you're experiencing static, just hold on a little longer. They're working on the problem. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC, standard text rate supply. And you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Ladies, I got a caller on the line. I'm going to go to the caller. Let's see what they have to say this morning. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Grant.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm fine. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, sir.
And Erin Green, I hope someday they got it, but I have one number. BTC would give them one number to call.
No, because then everybody would be log up on that one number trying to get through. That's why you need three numbers.
We need to discuss that, because I see it down in the States, and they got three different slots.
Ah.
Rolled into slots. Anyway.
I see what you're saying, technology. I got
right. Ladies, I'm going to give my name here. My name is Peter L. Massey. Advocate for disability. And I haven't seen, I would love to see that draft, what you're talking about, because Sam been advocating for our bill. Never heard from a civil society. And I know some of y'all may say, yeah, but I've never heard y'all lobby on behalf of us. Erin Green, you have your situation, and I don't know if they lobby for you and your organization.
Well,
but I'm sure that civil society seems like they don't have a huge community agenda in terms of every man. You understand what I'm saying, Erin?
Yeah. Let
of
me.
Their kind.
I got you. I think when I was deep in my social justice advocacy, right?
Right.
Civil Society Bahamas created a space. Let me know that there was a space here for me. They also let me know that at the time, they didn't have anybody working on those issues. Mm. They weren't necessarily comfortable with the issues in terms of like maybe a personal comfort, but also in terms of understanding.
Right, but they probably wasn't comfortable with my issues, because it's
right?
disability.
But they didn't close off the space to me.
Uh-huh.
They just let me know that at the stage the organization was in, that I would be doing most of the work myself anyway, sort of, right? Uh-huh. But I think that the way that this umbrella organization is structured, it doesn't set an agenda, right? It allows its members to set the agenda. So what I would say is interrogate how can the disabilities and the disabled community become a part of civil society?
Well, that's
Bahamas.
What I'm trying to get to, Erin.
Yes,
Erin,
yes.
Listen to me carefully.
May I attempt to give the gentleman some comfort?
Hold on. Give me a second, madam. I'm familiar with the civil society from way back. Not just familiar with that. Like
yeah.
I said, when I cried numerous years ago, decades ago, and civil society ain't just come about, Erin Green.
I agree, but remember...
Hold on, let me finish.
I know what you're going to say, Pumpkin Eater. I got to say this. The disabled community has been ahead of the curve. See,
right.
That's what you got to understand. You've been ahead of the curve. You looking for support from organizations who at the time may have been looking at you for models and your community for models to strengthen its work. So I saying, give them a blight. Give them
so
a break.
We did pass our way. We have a Disabled Act bill in place.
Yeah.
Because of our work. All I'm saying is Erin Green. All I'm saying is, and maybe the civil society, not saying that criticize them. Critics is good for the soul, constructive criticism. I love constructive criticism. All I'm saying, and civil society in the future, this is the 21st century, have one, a broader base.
Mm-hmm.
Have a broader base when you reach out to every situation that need to be dealt with. One of the things I want to close with this, Erin, is local government.
Mm-hmm.
Civil society need a local government. We need a local government in New Providence. We're not going to change in our community and in different ways where we want to change it unless we have local government. I have some plans for our local society, my local community, and my local community could come together to a process of local government. And this is the reason why I'm not supporting this government, because they didn't give New Providence local government, and the Minister of Health, when he was in that capacity, he failed us.
I hear you.
I'm your pumpkin eater, PRP all the way, Erin.
Thank you. Listen, I will be honest with you. I felt the need to defend the Civil Society Bahamas just now because I want you to be easy with them and understand that sometimes you got to, like Scrooge, my fellow on the station, say, you got to create the space you need in the moment. Marilyn, you wanted to respond.
Yes, two things, please. Thank you, Erin. I know my colleague and I, Mrs. Morley, we were putting out a lot of information. And I would repeat again that to go to the civilsocietybahamas.org website, and you will see in detail, and it will address even the issue of disability. The second point I want to make is that Civil Society Bahamas, as an umbrella organization, is attempting to put secure, solid, foundational blocks in place, such as was already referenced, capacity building, governance and participation, and sustainable development. The third point I want to make is that the Civil Society Bahamas is is engaged with the disability issues, because the president of Civil Society Bahamas, Hamilton, actually chairs a commission that, I don't know the exact name of the body, but he is a principal in an organization that deals specifically with the disabled. Civil Society Bahamas is presently looking at physical headquarters, and in recent discussions, there was specific reference to how the disabled community could not only be accommodated physically, but have a space within within the context of the headquarters that is going to reach out nationally across the Family Islands, not just the capital, as well as in terms of the specific issues that are within civil society. And I want to answer if I can. You asked who needs to register.
Yes.
I would like to, again, so that your audience is not just getting generalities put at them, but they can go and address specific documentation. I'd like to refer them to the website. There is a document there entitled Frequently Asked Questions, mm-hmm. Nonprofit Organizations Act 2019. And there they will find in-depth questions that they may have with respect to NPOs or CSOs. And that document says in part, who has to register? All existing nonprofits that are already incorporated under the Companies Act will need to re-registrations under the new act by completing and submitting a registration form, signing and submitting a declaration form. All informal NPOs that are not incorporated under the Companies Act will need to register their organizations by doing the very same.
Okay.
But you can get more details. And in addition to this fact sheet, the Office of the Attorney General is also in the process of finalizing a similar manual that CSOs and NPOs can be walked through. And if I may, Erin, you had indicated preliminarily to Mrs. Morley and myself that perhaps you would have wished us to touch on a survey that CSB recently did to address in a more practical sense women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be prepared to reference that briefly for you.
Okay. Can I just make a comment here on Mr. Morley's statement, Mr. McPhee's statement? When he says civil society needs to be broadened in how they assist with disability, mm-hmm. that should not be, because now as a member of civil society, when disability made history in the Bahamas, they had the first disabled person piloted. Can you imagine somebody who could not see a boat? Nawab was just in the harbor on that boat with civil society. So we have been supportive long time ago. We have been there for civil society. And our president, Mr. Anthony Hamilton, is quite active. He sits at the with the Bureau of the Gender Affairs with disability right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is important, Erin, for organizations to register and, you know, for them also that, you know, they can have by funding opportunities. So they meet the requisites, it gives them that structure. You know, according to the Act in 2019, it would allow them greater opportunities for grant funding,
mm-hmm.
and especially those Bahamian families from across the length and breadth of our country. Civil society extended and continued this collaboration between government, the non-governmental organizations, faith-based organization, and community-based organization. So you can see how it encapsulates all
yes,
of
ma'am.
The organization.
Absolutely. I am smack out of time. I've got two quick texts. The first text is not for you ladies, but I have to read it. Morning, Minister of National Security. These people are calling you a liar, sir. It is a sad state of affairs when statements are made against individuals without the proof being presented at the time of the statement in our country. The last text is, and I have to read this, ladies. I like you, Erin, but for real, though, you and the other feminists will be fighting this fight forever because men suffer more violence than anyone else. But y'all hyper-focus on this no matter the improvement. People take advantage of others normally. It's morally bad and wrong, but partly instinctual. You can only decrease a natural phenomenon so much, but never eradicate it. Well, I think we should still aim to eradicate all things that we think need eradicating. And also, what you said suggests to me that, you know, I get the guy to stop trying to take off my leg, right? And I should be satisfied if I can't stop him from trying to take off my toes, just once he stopped trying to take off my leg. No, man, anything that needs to be eradicated, we will focus on it, no matter how hard it is. Also, I want to reinforce this idea. I reinforce the idea that the government is supportive and has been supportive towards social justice movements. A beneficiary of some of that support 20 years ago when I got a small grant from the government to participate in a UN event, right? So, you know, I'm glad that you guys have had a great experience or a reasonably good experience working with government in this regard. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me today. Hopefully I can have members of your organization on again so we could delve into the work that you do and the support that you can offer smaller groups in the country. Thank you for tuning into the show today, Bahamas. You've been tuned into 96.9 FM. And you know, coming up next at 11 is Levon Miller and Unleashed. Have a great day, Bahamas.